Romans 15, we stopped at verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about all Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. The first thing he says in Romans 1:16 is, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We track the statement back to Romans 1:1. Paul, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised via the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, who was made according to the flesh, or made the seed of David according to the flesh, he says, and raised by the Spirit of, and raised from the dead, or marked the Son of God, verse 4, that's the word horizo, marked the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness via the resurrection from the dead. And so we looked at the meaning of the word gospel. Very vital meaning of the word gospel. Crucial. The fact that Christ died, crucial, is that he was raised from the dead. Christ died, very crucial. And the fact that he was raised from the dead. And Paul says, if Christ be not raised from the dead, he says, your preaching is vain, and our faith vain. In verse 17, he said, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then you are yet in your sins. A vital and crucial fact of the gospel. When you say, I am not ashamed of the gospel, it is the power of God. The power of God there refers again to Romans 1. Verse 4, how Christ was raised from the dead, marked the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead, or by the Spirit of holiness in or by the resurrection from the dead. And look at something we must examine. In Matthew 16, the background here is that Jesus had a conversation with Simon Peter. Prior to then, he had asked in verse 13, who do they say that I am? Some say you are John the Baptist, others Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah, and others one of the prophets. And he asked them in verse 15, but who do you say that I am? Whom do you say that I am? And then answered Simon Peter in verse 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And just answered, he says, blessed are thou, Simon Barjona. Verse 17, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto you, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Very vital. Then as he said that, he now told his disciples, tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21 says, then from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. And be what? And be what? Killed. And what else? Raised again the third day. Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? And then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be far from you, Lord. This shall not be unto you. So the revelation he had in 16 is not equal to salvation. Can I have an amen? Is that clear enough? It's not equal to believing the gospel. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, yet he refutes the very reason why he is the Christ, by saying, be far from thee. It shall not happen unto you. And Jesus responded. He said, in verse 23, very popular statement, get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. When he says you are an offense unto me, is the word scandalion, a trap. Scandalion. Peter was just being emotional about Jesus. And he says, this is an offense. Cause it is scandalion, a trap unto me. He says, you savors not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. The word savors is the Greek word phronesis. Phronesis. It means a sense of judgment. Thou savorest not the things that be of God. That means that in spite of that revelation in 17 or 16, Peter yet could not judge rightly. Faith was absent, as touching the gospel. It says, you are an offense unto me, which is the word scandalion. The same thing that Jesus said, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 1:23, said we preach Christ crucified. He said to the Jews, it's a scandalion, an offense. In other words, Peter reasoned like the Jew. How can you say you will die? How can the Christ die? And that's why Jesus had to take them all through and said, and told them, oh fools and slow of hearts. That's the other disciples at the road to Emmaus. Say, oh fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Same thing he said in verse 21. And to enter into his glory, the gospel. So, Romans 15, 18, the gospel. Romans 1, 16, the gospel. Romans 1, 1, the gospel of God. What is gospel? We said it's the word huagelion, which can be taken from huagelizo. We said it is two words. The critical one is the word agelos, which means to be sent. A messenger. So I say a messenger. There must be a message. A messenger. You can't have gospel without being sent with a message. And so, in Romans chapter 10 verse 14, Paul makes a simple discussion. Simple enough. Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? At this point, he's talking to the Gentiles precisely. Without a preacher. Or maybe Jews and Gentiles, but focused on the Gentiles. Without a preacher. So the preacher is important. The one that will bear the news. Someone will have to bear the news. Someone will have to tell it to others. So, praying for people to hear the gospel, or praying for people to accept the gospel, is shooting off target. It is praying for people to go, or praying for those who have gone. Nobody's heart will be touched by prayer, no matter how touching your prayer has been. So, in Romans chapter 10, before then, it says, but the righteousness which is your faith, speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, verse 7, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what seeth it? He says, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let me ask you, what is the gospel in this verse? The B part. The lordship of Jesus is that God had raised him from the dead. Not two things. Jesus is Lord because God raised him from the dead. Acts 2, verse 33 or 34. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on the right hand of verse 35 till I make thy enemies thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ, via the resurrection from the dead. Lord over sin and Lord over the consequence of it. So he says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Paul says, they cannot believe it until you tell them. So then faith is that hearing. That is, to heed by to the message is faith. Faith is by hearing, and the hearing is that they heed it. Let me put it this way. Faith is to heed. Faith is to heed. What hearing there means to heed. Not just to hear in your ears. Faith is to heed, which is to believe. And the heeding is the message of Christ. Romans 10:17. Not faith is by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. No. Faith is to heed. And to heed the message of Christ. What is the message of Christ? God raised him from the dead. It can't be he's the Son of God. No. God raised him from the dead. He can't be the mighty healer. No. God raised him from the dead. For our sins. For our justification. Romans 4:25. So an emotional appeal is not the preaching of the gospel, in as much as the gospel involves you preaching it with emotions. The message must be definite. The message must be sure. The message must be steadfast and reliable for it to be a message that brings salvation to humanity. Luke 24:25-27. O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And being at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's why he said to them in 44. He said, it needs to come to pass the things which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, which were written in the prophets, in the law of Moses, and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. 46. For thus he said that he behold Christ, that he must suffer. And then, that is die, and then be raised again the third day. 47. And repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name in all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he says in 48, you are witnesses of these things. He said, however, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He says, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Very definite. See how we started? The gospel, then the ministry. You don't start preaching, then say, what do I see? The gospel first, a man believes it. He tells them what it is. Then he says the ministry. Gospel first. Then the ministry. So a man that does not understand the gospel cannot be called a preacher of the gospel. That's critical. He must know what the gospel is. Do you know that in spite of the Judaism that prevailed in the early church until Paul, you could still see that they preached the gospel. In spite of the circumcision prevalent in their in their extra biblical practices, in spite of the tongue coat that sometimes they acted like, in spite of their ethnic, or let's call it racial, Moses racial discrimination against the Gentiles, they still preached the gospel. They still knew what it was. The moment Peter entered the house of Cornelius, he knew what to say. Go and tell him the words of his life. They knew what it was. They knew what it was. So that was the moment he said that remissions of sins should be received in 43. As Peter yet spake, the Gentiles spoke in tongues. They believed the word. He knew what the gospel was. So it's possible for a man to be just like Peter and the co, a racial discriminator against the Gentiles. They didn't consider the Gentiles as part of all nations or every creature. Despite all that, when they opened their mouth to preach, Acts 2 account, Acts 3 and 4 account, Acts 8 account, Acts 8 account, every time they had to preach, they were very definite. Acts 5:31, Peter was very clear. He gave repentance to Israel, the remission of sins. It was clear. Acts 2:38, they asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was so clear. When he was preaching, there was no mixture. He was clear what the gospel was. Same in the house of Cornelius. So the gospel is that God raised him from the dead for remission of sins. Don't ever be compelled to preach a situational message. You have been sent. Say, I have been sent. The one who sent you is not your pastor. I didn't send you. I was also sent. The one who sent you is not your zonal pastor or your pastor or your pastor's pastor. No. The one who sent you is the one who is the message. The one who sent us is the one who himself is the message. Is there anybody in the house? The gospel. So two words. Hu, H-E-U, and the word agelos. With the EU means well done. So, and I want you to lend me your ears. It's a well done work. So we said, the word of God is past tense. I hope that was clear. We can call the word of God the gospel. What God said that he brought to pass. So the word is the receipt of all of the promises of God. While we can, for the sake of men's faith, say the word is working, glory! The word is working, glory! But you see, the truth is the word has worked. Hallelujah. The word he gave has come to pass. The moment you see God outside the gospel, you are having a spiritual mirage. It is in the gospel. That's where it is. Past tense. The word has walked. Acts 13. And some are busy preaching how to make the word walk. How else can a man reject Christ? Amen. Acts 13. Verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God had fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again. The gospel. What is the gospel? All the promises God made fulfilled. The word in the Old Testament is the promise. The word in the New Testament is a fulfilled promise. So we can safely say the word is in the past tense. Is anybody in the house? You hear that? The word is where? In the past tense. The tense or tenses of the word is in the past tense. Where we find a present continuous or a future tense, as the case may be, is because of the past tense of the word. So the word is a receipt. The gospel is a receipt of what God has said. Done. So, in Romans 15, I want you to listen very, very well. Past tense. What God has done. He has raised up Christ from the dead. That's what he has done. Romans 10:9. Christ, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. That is my gospel. That should be 2 Timothy 2:9. Romans 2:16. It will judge every man's according to my gospel. By Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Past tense. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Christ died. Past tense. Buried. Past tense. Raised. Past tense. The gospel. 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 And that is the message of discipleship. Matthew 28:19-20. You teach men on the past tense of God's word. The word. The gospel. The message. There's one mediator between God and man. Or you can say there was one mediator between God and man. So that was the theology. The man, Christ Jesus, who will give himself a ransom. No, is it says community? Who has offered, who offered himself a ransom for many? Say, I am because of that now made a preacher and a teacher. So what I am teaching is what he has done. Am I in the house? Are you in the house? Am I communicating? What I am teaching is what he has done. The gospel. Pay attention. The gospel. What he has done. Past tense. Past tense. Past tense. That's why all the tenses of the gospel to the recipient will date back to past tense. All the tenses. Forgiven. Blessed. Sanctified, justified, glorified. All the tenses for the man who has believed will be in the past tense because the word is in the past tense. All the tenses are there. Ephesians 1:3, blessed. Ephesians 1:4, predestined, chosen, pardon me. 5, predestined, adopted as children. 6, accepted. 7, forgiven. All past tense. Then he says in 13, he now sealed you as you believed it. He sealed you with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance to the purchased, the redemption of that purchased possession. Done! It's not the day you believed it that it worked. It worked when Christ was raised from the dead, and the moment you believe it, you are dated to that day. Amen. Done. That's the gospel. The past tense. What God has done in Christ. Are you in church? So, I go out preaching the euangelion. I go bearing what has been well done. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying tonight. What has been well done. Romans 15, verse 16. Because many of us can get emotional. Either by view. By sight. You just see, sometimes some of us are carried away by lovely architectural designs. And then the man gets up, he begins to say, finish works. Oh glory. And then when you listen to him very well, everything he said has not been finished. The finished work. Oh, Christ. Christ is all. Christocentric. Christocentric. By the time he's done, this man has not put out the word. You have to be careful. Not to be carried away. I told you before. Many believers today, your attention span is so short. Just carried away here. Yeah? They just forgot. I mean, you're just hearing the word now. Just finish hearing the word. Now that your mind is on it, fix. Just see something else. The greater glory of Christ in these days. Wow. And God will. God can. This relates to my present problem. This addresses my present emotional predicament and disjointment. This will do the job. The man has fallen from grace. He has fallen. He has fallen from grace. He has lost it. Paul says, stand in the liberty wherewith Christ shall make you free. The ignoramus will quote Romans 8:32. You shall know the truth, and it shall set you free. Keep knowing it. He said that to men who claimed to have believed him, and when he went further to tell them who he was, they stopped believing him. He said, until you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. He said, what is your word? Then he said, look, he that is sins is a servant of sin. He said, but he that the Son abides in the house forever. And he said, who told you we are sinners? So you see, they never believe. You take that verse, say, brethren, let us know the truth. The truth will make us free. That is why your brethren are sinners. Wrong identification. You know, in Nigeria, if you're a Nigerian, we carried so many ID cards. Sometimes with different age. Different picture. Sometimes different names. Janet. Apeke. Olajumoke. Adewari. John. That's one. Another one. So by that you have different identity. Which one are you, please? Show me one. The same way spiritually. Saved, yet not safe. Sanctified, but requiring purifying grace. Christ within, but waiting for Christ. You know, say, take one, please, sister. Take one. Which one is your ID card here? Say, all of the above. You lost it. You just lost it. So a man has the gospel. Romans 15:16. So, what's my job? What's my role? What's my task? 15:16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Ministering the gospel of God. That the offering up of the Gentiles may be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Look at the word ministry. I told you earlier, the word ministry is from the word leitogos. L-E-I-T-O-U-R-G-O-S. L-E-I-T-O-U-R-G-O-S. It is the same word used for angels in Hebrews 1:7. It's angels are ministers. Those who attend to a message. Same word. In Romans 15:16, I mentioned that earlier. 15:8. No, Romans 13:6. For government officials, those who rule, do it on behalf of others. Philippians 2:25 was used for Timothy. But the one letter goes was used for Jesus in Hebrews 8:2. A minister of the true tabernacle. And what does he do in that tabernacle? He offers it to us. So when you use the word letter goes, you are offering making it available unto others. So I stand here, you stand wherever you are, as a minister of the gospel. Again, what is the gospel? The past tense of God's promises. Is that right? Is that right? Past tense of God's promises. The word that has worked, fulfilled, and done. Romans 5:10. Reconciled. Reconciled in the death of his son. 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, all things are of God who is seeking to reconcile himself with the world. Who has reconciled himself by his son, Jesus Christ. Then gave us the message of the past tense of his promises. A word of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ 19, reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses, past tense, future tense, or present tense. Past tense. I'm a bearer of the receipt. I'm only showing you what? The receipt. I'm only showing you the receipt. I'm only showing you the receipt. Paid for, done, reconciled, hallelujah, justified, glorified. I'm preaching the receipt. The tenses remain the same. What God has done well in Christ. Notice very well, because I'm about to make a distinction shortly. So you won't get lost. So, it's a receipt. Imagine what the receipt is. Something that has been done. You now show it to people. See, paid for. See. That's what you are preaching. No, God will save you. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary one, your God will surely come, a new creature. He will come and say, hey, you. Bad enough, sad enough, and bad enough. I taught a choir that song myself. I knew it was wrong, but I was so carried away by the sonorous, he will come and say, particularly when you begin to address the gospel to your present predicament. It can be done. Look at my situation. He will come and say to the weary one, your God will surely come. When? Done. Hallelujah. We believe. Fulfill. What we have is received the gospel. And then the seal of approval is the Holy Ghost within forever. Are you in church? So I go forward and I bear before men. Saved in Christ. Bought by the blood. The guy looks at me. I don't believe. That's unbelief. I believe faith. You can't ask a man. You see, I believe. Believe what? It has been done in Christ. God raised Jesus from the dead for your justification. Received. The man accepts it by faith. It becomes his reality. It doesn't become reality because he accepted it. It only becomes his reality. It was all the reality to ever be when God did what he did. Your mind must come to that agreement. We don't validate the word. Self-validated. Self-proclaimed. Self-justified. Are you there? Look at this again. Romans 15. Ministering the gospel of God. That the offering up of the Gentiles, it says, might be acceptable. Key word. Acceptable. Being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. When he says, might be acceptable, what did he mean? He said, what I'm preaching is sanctified by the Holy Ghost. What is the acceptability of the Gentiles? To offer to the Gentiles, how would it be acceptable? Romans 15:31. And be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, that my service will have for you may be accepted of the saints. To come to terms with what I have said. So how would the Gentile prove this acceptability? Romans 1:5. Obedience of the faith. Obedience to the faith among all nations. Romans 16:26. Made known to all the nations for the obedience of the faith. So a man, as a minister, the finished or the fulfilled promises of God, a man accepts it. That acceptance is the obedience to the faith. He heeds to it. He says yes to it. Romans 10:17. Hidden is the faith. So, if I stand to preach the gospel, my tenses must remain what? My tenses must remain what? That is why healing cannot be the gospel. Healing cannot be the gospel. Miracles cannot be the gospel. I want you to listen very, very well and pay attention. Done! And because of this lack of understanding, many preachers associated Isaiah 53 with physical healing because it was in the past tense. Bore, took, stripes, healed, upon, laid upon him. And they took it out and thought it was physical healing. So the man, born again, he's now disillusioned. Healed, yet I feel pains. Healed, yet... They said, no. You were healed 2,000 years ago. That doesn't make sense. 2,000 years ago. So, by confusing healing with the gospel, they made many disillusions. All the texts of Isaiah 53, in all the epistles and in the four gospels, none refer to physical healing. Matthew 8:16-17. I've done this explanation to you over and over. Can I get any of the books? Understands that word that readers is very clear. I think faith in the gospel. No. The word of faith. The message and the mandate. It is there. It is in healing and material prosperity and redemption. It's there. Irrefutable discussions. Not in any way impugning the character of God's power to heal the sick, which we are about to look at. But that is not the gospel. To bring the gospel to bear on an earthly relevance is to put a lie to what Christ has done. Whatever Christ has done is eternal. Forgiveness, reconciliation, justification, eternal. New birth. Eternal. That confusion, brought a lot, and that's why they also bring in, you see, the ones who were honest enough left their healing. The ones who were dishonest children of honest parents, they now brought in wealth. You were rich 2,000 years ago. And somebody fooled you at that. How? You were rich. In other words, all the money in the CBN had been in your account 2,000 years ago. Who is fooling you? No, we didn't know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was made, though he was rich, he became poor. That you, through his poverty, might be made rich. I am rich. Say with me, I am rich. Say with me, I am rich. And you are saying, I am rich. I am rich. Rich in stupidity. No more. And you read your Bible and you will see poor saints at Jerusalem. Sometimes I think believers often go through a mental relapse. How can you see that? How? Men got born again in Acts 2, Acts 4, and they began to share their things among those who had need. They say, brethren, there's no need. Church had economic recession in Acts 11. The man Agabus gave a prophecy. All he said was there was going to be a great death in all the earth. Don't mind his prophecy. All the earth is not Jerusalem. But that's all he saw. He didn't travel so far. The whole world. And when he gave that, your prophecy is determined by a lot of things. As he said that, it took relief to the saints. And the relief were not tapes and CDs. Relief were material things. Too bad. The man James even said, have either faith of a religious person in respect of persons. If one should come into your church and he has patterned shoes, he has one right leg, two left leg, and he's coming to the service, and he says, oh, brother, stay outside. Let somebody come in. Or designer, say, come and sit on the pulpit. Too bad. Nothing of such nature. Let him that stole steal no more. Material men will jump that because they steal. Let him walk with his hands. They direct that to the audience. That which is good, silent. That he may have, raise the volume. To give to him that is in need. Pastor, are you the one in need? The man who wrote it basically said, you are a thief. Born again man, thief. The Greek actually let the thief stop stealing. So, let him walk with his hands that he may have. The man who is a thief already has. Because if you don't have, you're not a thief. To be a thief, you must have heart. Now, he's saying change how you have. Then add one more thing to it. Love. That you may give him that is in need. But when your mind is overclouded by all these prosperity jargons, Laodicean teachings, when you have been overwhelmed, let him have, that he may have. But then, we live to have. When you read that to your church, it means you are all thieves. Because instruction is to thieves. So that confusion of saying healing has been yours if you've been healed 2,000 years ago, and there's gifts of healing. For what? For 2,000 years ago. You know, this lack of understanding that healing is not the gospel. God heals the sick anywhere, anytime. But that is not the gospel. Men who were healed, Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord that healed thee, were the men who departed from the living God, Hebrews 3:12. Men that he blessed their bread in the water and he did not allow sickness to come upon them, Exodus 23:24, were the same men who had the gospel preached unto them. But they did not mix the word preached with faith. Healing of the body is God's power. Always God's power. Always God's tender mercies and compassion. Always his glory. So we have made the riches of Christ to be subservient to our emotional attractions. Our conjectures of emotional dysfunction. So, that means with this salvation now, I'll pass my exams. Yes, you will. So with salvation now, I'll get a new job. Yes, you will. With salvation now, I'll get an extra wife. Yes, you will. With salvation now, you mean right now with this salvation, I can have a new house. Yes. You got it. Idol worshippers. The gospel is the riches of the glory of God in Christ. Done. Is this very clear tonight? The moment
what you preach lives the tenses of what God has done. Don't need anybody telling you. Just write, go and buy a jersey and place it. False gospel preacher. So that nobody will judge you. If you judge yourself, you'll not be judged. Just go and get, I'll do and do all these things, go and get a wristband, and then get a face cap, and go and get a shirt, and just say, I am a false witness. For if Christ be not raised from the dead, our preaching is vain. Past tense. And your faith is vain. That is, if what we are saying has not happened, then we are preaching nonsense. We are believing nonsense. If what we are saying has not happened, then we are yet in our sins. So what we are saying has happened. Hallelujah. What we are preaching has happened. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, we are teaching. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit because you have the Spirit. Love because you can. Done. Forgive because you have been forgiven. Preach because you are saved. Not as a man said. He said, if you don't win souls, your own will not be saved. No, you. I believe coming with false doctrine is also mental torture. Save so that you will be saved. Why not let me just not be saved? So that when I am saved, I'm saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? Saved so that you will be saved. No. I'm not saved. So that somebody will come to me and save me and I will be saved. Simple common sense. All to grow church. And I was said, and with swift speaking, names withheld. If you don't preach, the blood of sinners will be in your hands. That who shall ascend to the ear from where to where, sir? Heal. Where? Too bad. We carry the receipt of God's fulfilled promises. Past tense. Done. Let it sink. I told you earlier, many of us have been immersed in all manner. Many. That unlike Paul that said, I count all these things dung. It will be difficult for some of you to count all these things dung. Paul mentioned his own from verse 4 to 6. You will see continue by 13. I was this, I was that. You lost that, right? You had carried all manner, white cloth, mantle. Imagine a Christian having handkerchief calling it mantle. Is it a grammar problem? Mantle is apron, a cloth! Not a piece of dirty, stinking, stained handkerchief called the power of God. And he said, let them touch you. They will touch your own mantle with their mantle, they become the power of God. And a believer in the church now ties it on his neck. Say, thank God, I'm in the secret place of the Most High. Who has bewizarded you? Allow my translation. Glory to God. Who has done this to you? What is this? Who did this to you? It's a Christian born again with the Holy Ghost. He has something tied on his neck. So what's this? The Holy Ghost. This is the power of God. God gave me this in redemption. It's a seal of my redemption. So this handkerchief, that's why Christ died. My pastor gave me. My pastor is a man of God. No, a God of man. Too confused. So we minister what he has done. Paul was very clear. Very clear. The receipt. That's why he said, if they preach another gospel, what another gospel? Heteros who are the Leon. That means they now say something else. Something else apart from verse 4. Who delivered us from this very evil world? Something else apart from saved.
Some else apart from justified. Justified, but I preached a sermon years ago, I'll tell you the year. Saved, but not safe. When I was done, everybody submitted their salvation to me. By the time I mentioned some heroes of unbelief in the Old Testament, in the four Gospels, by the time I used Demas in a way Demas would say, I didn't do up to that. By the time I mentioned Ananias and Sapphira, you say, I must be both. You will just come to the altar and submit. All your salvation, bring it! Rededicate your life to Christ. And the man begins to confess it all over again. I asked the pastor one day, I said, assuming as they were coming to rededicate, that's what happened. I said, that would be dangerous. Too bad. No wonder Paul says a bishop must be able to teach. How can you be a bishop and you can't teach? You can only declare. I declare over you today. I declare. This is your week. This is your week. I said, emoji, this is horoscope. This is horoscope. This is your week. It's your week. Nothing this week will be against you. You came to church and that's what you took home. Why did you bring Bible? Nothing. Just part of, you know, Bible is part of my dressing, my shoes, my Bible, my shirt. It's not for reading. Preach what he has done. I have confidence in it. I'm not ashamed. No. I'm not ashamed to say God has done it. In my life, we see what you have done. Nothing. Oh, doing what? If your forgiveness in the present tense, you are not born again. You're not born again. Just know, and you will never be born again. Because it shows that this is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. God said it's all this past tense. He said, no, it has to be future. You will never be born again. Because you abide in the sin or in the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A joke, but then serious. Romans 15. Ministering the gospel of God. And verse 17. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ. Oh my God. In those things which pertain to God. Look at this. Which pertain to God. Look at our building. Look at our building. The man said, look at that. We just moved into an all air conditioned auditorium. My God. That is God. My God. Look at our equipment. My God. Look at the backstage. My God. See, Christ died. Your sins forgiven forever. It's a lie. You should know who his God is. My God! We just landed a property. $3 billion. My God. Christ died for your sins. Say something else. It's not born again. Why would you think the apostles under immense pressure and persecution were rejoicing? Not a lot in the accounts. It's just that seeing the eternal effects of Christ's death. Taking pancreas cannot have any effect on that. I knew that. If Christ's work was buildings and houses, there's no reason to rejoice when you are being flogged. That embrace the realities. Something that is beyond the car I drive. Something that is beyond the house I live in. Something that is beyond the kind of clothes that I wear. The gospel of Christ. God
sure, accomplished, finished, fulfilled. That is what we preach in every nation. Not God will do. No, God has done. Why did he do it? You didn't have to ask. You didn't have to pray. For while we were yet sinners, Christ, pastors, don't forget. Christ died for us. Hallelujah. The gospel. Know what the gospel is. Don't mix it up. So, in those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak, he says, of any of those things, oh my God, which Christ has not wrought by me, better still in me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. That is all I am saying in the gospel have been accomplished in me. Now, if the gospel was situational, Paul can't say that. He can't say that. If the gospel was about the economy of the nation or the situation of a man's life, then he can't say what he just said now. Having believed the gospel, so I'm going to preach it. The apostles, don't forget the order. They heard the gospel, they believed it, then they became the minister of it. So everything they were preaching was what they had become. Go into all the world. Preach the finished work. Preach the fulfilled promise. Preach the accomplished task by Christ. Preach the redemption that is found in Christ. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes is baptized, is saved. He that believes not is condemned. This sign, see that? This sign shall follow them that believe. That's all. There are no two peoples more than that. He that believes, he that believes not, believes the same thing what God has done. Are you in the house? I will do this, Paul says. Make the Gentiles obedient. The next verse is my text. Through mighty signs and wonders. Notice this. Shall preach the word and doing. That's what deed. The deed is now me. What I do. There is the message, what God has done. And then, indeed, which he now called, through mighty signs and wonders. Don't forget that. The gospel is in the past. The mighty signs and wonders is in the present. That is not the gospel. That is our doing. The enablement that we have in the Holy Ghost. Follow this. It says, through mighty signs and wonders. Two words. He used the word might two times. Dunamis. Signs is the word semion. S-E-M-E-I-O-N. An indication of power. The last word is the word teras. Wonders. Whenever you hear the word power, the power works. Dunamis. Then he says signs. The signs is outside the doer. Then it says wonders. Wonders will be the response of the recipients. Don't forget, when I preach the gospel, what will be
the response of the Gentiles, obedience of faith. Not wonders and not signs. But there's a doing, as we have seen. Through signs, wonders, and miracles. So it means signs, wonders, and miracles. People have asked, why then is there signs and wonders and miracles? Because you just said that Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. It has to be the sign of a man who is alive. I say it like this. All he did in the four gospels was to indicate to us what we will do in his name when he has risen from the dead. Not the message, but the works. The doing. There is a preaching which saves. A man believes it. He receives it. He is saved. There is now a doing. My deeds by the preaching, then the deeds. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? Verse 4 is critical. I preached one of my longest sermons in 1994 with Hebrews 2:4. It used to be my joker. It says, and God also bearing them witness. The word there is the word sunep materio. Sunep materio. It simply means to add to something. Sunepi materio. Sunepi, the material. To add to something. So it is not the message. Don't ever forget it. God confirming sunep material to add to. The word sunep means to lay upon, to put beside it. It's not the message. It must never be the message. But it's a doing of the messenger. The salvation is not from the messenger. The salvation is not a present tense, future tense word. But the doing is. There's a doing. We have just said what God has done, the gospel. That's what saves. What God can do now, not the gospel. Signs, wonders, diverse miracles. Just put Romans 15:19 and Hebrews 2:4 together, they are saying the same thing. One that says, gifts of the Holy Ghost, merismos in the Greek, means the distributions which I submit to you will refer to the ministry gifts. Distributions of the Holy Ghost. So the man who has the gospel also has the power of the Holy Ghost. See, I have the power of the Holy Ghost. I've got the message and I have the power of the Holy Ghost. And Paul says, by that power of the Holy Ghost, he says, signs, wonders, and miracles. Not the message. No. No. But by the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, I have fully preached pleroma. In other words, I have also overflowed. Again, just like Hebrews 2:4. I have, with my preaching, had signs, wonders, diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. In Mark 16:20, he said, they went forth everywhere, preaching the word. And the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Someone says signs. Mark 16:20. Signs. What's the gospel? What's the gospel? What God has done. Signs, wonders, diverse miracles, what God can do and will do. So a promise. What God will do. He did it for 40 years amongst the Jews. See the Old Testament. Jesus came here, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Notice he never mentioned salvation. For God was with him. A very different fact from the message that saves. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So our gifts of the Spirit. Compliments of the message. Not the message, but complementary to the message. It's like a man. Oh, he said, well, you go into an hotel and say, we have complimentary drinks. Oh, good. They say, of course, be very careful what they call that. And they say, we have snacks for you. Then the man says, you know what? Just bring the drinks and the snacks. That's okay. I don't see a reason why I should stay in the room. They'll give you. Because it's yours. Paid for. And the man said, oh, I will enter the room, but why must I take the complimentary drinks? Or, even if you are fasting, wait till 6 o'clock or 7. All the snacks. What the man who is in the room is better. The one who takes the complimentary drinks outside of the room needs more than deliverance. He needs far better promises than he has been given. So we call miracles complementary. Complementary to the message. The message is not miracles. And the message is not against miracles. It's not without it. Are you in church? Are you in church? These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. We'll come to that shortly. So as I stand out, I preached what Christ has done for salvation. Done. And I also do what God can do in a man's present predicament of sickness, pain, and oppression of the devil. I do that. The signs shall follow them that believe in what I have done. My name. They shall cast out devils. That's important. It starts out by talking about casting out devils. Which is not salvation. But it's a sign of the man who has the message. Somebody in the house tonight. Notice, Paul never said, we preach signs. He said, we do it. He said, we preach the gospel, then we do signs. The moment you know what we do is that we teach is the other way around. We preach signs, we ask people to do the gospel. I preach the gospel. Then I do the signs. What I preach is what he has done. It is very clear. Signs, wonders, diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now notice in Mark 16, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. The word there is demons. It's so consistent because it is an almost, if not absent, fact of the Old Testament. We find healing in the Old Testament. We find raising the dead in the Old Testament. We find healing of the lepers in the Old Testament. But we don't find casting out of demons. Almost non-existent, if it exists at all. And you see how prominent it was in the ministry of Jesus. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 16. Are you in the house tonight? Matthew's Gospel, 8:16. And evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with demons. And he cast out the demons with his word and healed all that were sick. Such that in Matthew 12, in verse 24, when he cast out devils, in 22, and the blind, the dumb were healed. The blind and dumb both spoke and saw. People were amazed. The Pharisees now said, this doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebul, the prince of the devils. Then he said to them, in verse 28, for if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Say, I cast out devils. Say it like you are not a devil yourself. Say, I cast out devils. Say it like we should cast you out. Say, I cast out devils. Very prominent sign in the ministry of Jesus. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Acts 10:38. In Luke chapter 9, in fact, in Matthew 10, heal the sick, verse 8, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Mark 6:12. And they went out and preached, and many would repent. And they cast out many devils. And anointed not the devils now, anointed with oil men that were sick. And healed them. Mark 6:12-13. Luke 9:1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Have you observed that it appears casting out of demons comes first before healing the sick? Who has observed that? Have you observed that? It's consistent. Matthew 4 again. Verse 23. Healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. The fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse disease and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and they healed them. Matthew 9. Verse 36, 34. He cast out devils through the prince of devils. Idiots. These are just idiots. He told them his common sense. He said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So simple. So that means when we cast out devils, we divide kingdoms. We take away oppression from the life of people. It's so sad that Christians are being informed of the devil in many congregations. They even give devils nicknames, surnames, middle names, titles, His Excellency. Terrible things. A man preached a sermon, 102 characteristics of the spirit of a python. How many snakes have 102 characteristics? That's more of an octopus or something. The man did a wholesome description. I said, where is the power of God in all this? Where is the power of God? At the end of the day, when you read that material, you get the demon quickly. I did not sin till the Lord said, thou shalt not covet. Demons. I was so oppressed of demons when I was a younger Christian. Because when they say, oh, it's time for deliverance, someone shall take over. Huh? Because the fear is, when they start to walk, you unguarded believers will be so caught. We are able told that when they are casting out demons around you and you are not pushing it out, it can land on your body by the virtue of saliva, by the virtue of sweat or anything, and then you are also possessed. The demons must have been enjoying the fact that at least they are not the most stupid spirit beings. Do you know that nobody around Jesus ran away when he was casting out demons? They were watching him. Unbelievers were there. They said, ah, ah. They even had the gospel criticizing. But believers, they are casting out devils there. And the funny part was, the brethren, when they went to cast out devils, start to frown their faces. So some of us nitwits, spiritual nitwits, and miniature Christians, almost like one in Gulliver's Travels, will just dodge. You see? Come down, Holy Spirit, come down. We are waiting for you. Come down. Demons do no ceremonies for the oppressed people. What's all this ceremonial, archetypal, Moses, Templary attitude? Father, Lord, in Jesus' name. The same person, Father, Lord. Father, Lord Jesus, we call upon you. We say, today is the day of deliverance. What is all this nonsense? He didn't cast out the spirit by gesticulation. It's by his word. Jesus said, what's all this? I came to kill you. Don't you know that's drama? All of you watch and believe you are possessed. I was sent. I said, I didn't know you were a man of God. I didn't know you were a man of God. That's the song that says, too much for God. You know that song? Too much for God. Cast out devils. Can you imagine Judas cast out devils? Thomas. It's Thomas, but I love to say Thomas. Peter. John. And his brother. Ambitious boys. They cast out devils. There was even a guy who had never to camp meeting, believers convention, said, we saw someone who is an LMA. He has never been living with media. He's casting out devils. He said, leave him alone. He that is not against us is with us. Luke 9:49. It's so sad that after he said that about them casting out devils, his own disciples now said, let us call down fire. Almost like the devils they cast out came back to oppress them. Luke 9. Someone say, I cast out devils. It's not a confession of faith. Say, I believe I receive. No. Say, you see, demon there. So he knows they will wait. And then they will take hours. By the time they are through with you after 5 hours, you start confessing. Yes. 5 hours. They have twisted your head. Your hair is rough. You have headaches. Yes. We meet under the rock. Yes. Yes. I flew last night. Yes. I landed the day before. Sorry, I landed this morning. Oh no. My name is Geisha. Oh no. I said, Luke 9. He gave them authority over all devils and to cure diseases. You cannot successfully function in the healing ministry without knowing to cast out devils. 5 out of 10 instances where Jesus healed the sick. Sorry, 7 out of 10 demons were cast out. It's a given. It's a given. And there was no drama to it. Only on one occasion was a name called. He cast out the spirits with his command. That's all. No drama. And I don't think there was anybody carrying keyboard along. Play for me. No saxophone. Play in the background. How great thou art, O Holy Spirit. No. He didn't cast out the spirit by his keyboardist. It was by his own command. Play as many keys you like on the keyboard until you say something. The demons are dancing. They are just enjoying the song. So, but I'm singing about God. Demons also believe and they tremble. Cast the spirit out. Ta! So is oppressed. You pick your phone, you call your pastor. Are you possessed? Pastor, there's something here. I suspect is the evil spirit. In my name, you shall suspect evil spirits. You yourself, you are a suspect. How did you know? Luke 9. Verse chapter 10 now. They came back, the 70. These are the 70 that they walk not with him again in John 6. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even demons are subject to us through your name. Why were they surprised? They're not born again men. Out! Eh? It's out. Out! Eh? Out. What were they saying? Jesus Christ is anointed of the Holy Ghost. In his name we cast out devils. Out. They're not born again, man. So he said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by enemies hurt you. When did he give them that power? Luke 9, 1 and 2. Luke 10, 1 and 2. That is not redemption. That is not the new birth. That is not salvation. He gave them a power of attorney to use his name. The fact that he's anointed of the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:38. Luke 4:18. That's what he gave them. And these 70 men, had they believed the gospel? Had they believed the gospel? Born again? No. This was not even the gifts of the Spirit. But just a recognition that Jesus did it and then in his name he did the same thing. A man who saw him do it, who was not part of them, Luke 9, 48 and 49, he cast out them. That's why it's so included. It is the easiest of all. Doesn't demand drama. Doesn't demand fasting. Oh my God. They say, I've got to go and cast out devils. Pastor, can I give you 1 week? 1 week. Then you call your boss at work. Can I have 1 week leave? What's happening? There's a serious situation. I want to attend to a very personal family problem. What does he want to do? He wants to go and watch videos on YouTube. And say, okay, I'll do it like this. I'll do it like this. That's what I say. No! Say, behold, I give you. That's why when they were saying, but however, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because of the new birth. It makes a distinction. A man must know this. Power of the Holy Ghost will undo the oppressive works of the devil. The people that you will undo the oppressions of need not be saved. So consistent. Acts of the Apostles. Remember in church? Are you in church? Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. The shadow of Peter. Verse 15. Acts 5:15. 16 says, them which were vexed with unclean spirits were healed every one. Unclean spirits. Thank you. Healed everyone. Everywhere you see the gifts of healing in operation, you will see the casting out of devils. Same thing, Acts 8. On most places, better still. Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ. You can see that the casting out of demons was a big deal to the Jews. Acts 8:5. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. Acts 8:5. And scripture says, the people went accord, gave it unto those who spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Can we take verse 7 together? Acts 8. Let's go. Unclean spirits, crying out with loud voice, came out of men that were possessed with them, and men that were taken with palsies, and they were lame, and they were what? Healed. Acts 19. In fact, before then, Acts 16. Paul turning to that lady who was pursuing them all over the place. In verse 18, said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come over. And that very hour, it came out. Acts 19, verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. So that, watch this, let's take verse 12 together. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons. And the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Was a big deal. So that when the sons of Sceva tried to use, you know, underhand tactics, the Spirit said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. So it was not the evil spirit that leaped on them, it was the man that did it physically. Overcame them, not by the blood of the Lamb, and prevailed against them, so that they fell out of the house naked and wounded. How did they wait? Seven of them. What were they thinking? As he grabbed the hold of one, you should have taken your flight. As that happened, the name of the Lord was magnified. They knew Jesus truly had authority over evil spirits. So we cast out devils. Yeah, I cast out devils. So you and I need to see this as an integral part of the gospel that we preach. We undo every oppressive work of the devil in the lives of people by the virtue of demons and what have you. The power of God. Signs. So casting out of a demon is a sign. Healing is a sign. Casting out of demon is a sign. Also it's a wonder. And when that is in operation, just write this down. You have the gifts of healing in operation. You have the word of, the gifts of healing in operation. You have the gift of faith. And the workings of miracles. Healing, miracles, and faith. And if you come to the point to sense or to know that evil spirits in operation, that will be the revelation gifts of the sign of spirits, word of wisdom, if there's a case for that, or the word of knowledge. So in that case, you have the power gifts in operation. And then the revelation gifts. See yourself as a preacher of the word and a doer of the works. See, I'm a preacher of the word and a doer of the works. John 14:12. He that believes on me, the very works that I do shall he do also. and greater works than this, because I go unto my Father. Some men say, no, the works refer to believing. The believing I have done will he do. And greater believing than this, because I go to my Father. It sounds stupid, right? So what do we do? Power God is with us. To undo the works of the devil. There is no sickness of as many years done by torment of a demon that we cannot undo. We fear no works of the devil. We fear no oppressions of Satan. We are on the oppression. We are on the go. We are on the move to undo the works of Satan in the lives of men. As we preach what God has done, we now do what he can do. Somebody in the house this evening. Romans 15. Paul says in verse 17, verse 20, I strive for it. I go for it. I do it. Verse 18, I strive for it. You must be seen contending for the power of God. Contending for it. Contending for the supernatural. In no way must you befriend a man or affriend a man or to friend a man who speaks low about the power of God to cure diseases and undo the oppression of Satan. Any man who talks down on that is, in my own vocabulary, half born again. Halfway. It's not a doctrine. Just an observation. Power of God all over the four gospels, the name of Jesus. Power of God all over the book of Acts, the name of Jesus. Power of God, as Paul is preaching what has been done, he does this. Not good enough to say, oh, I know the Greek word for power, dunamos, dunamis. The Hebrew word, the Latin word, emoji. They must be done. Are you contending for them? The power of God. As we preach, we do. See, as I preach, I do the works. You preach, you do. As you preach, you ask, anybody in this house who is sick? Simple. That's not what you preach though. But that's what you will do. Anybody around here who is sick? Yeah. Yeah. I said to you that Jesus Christ is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We preach what he has done. And then we do the works. John 14, 12 and 13. Paul says, I have fully, Romans 15, 19, preached the gospel. I strive for it. I go for it. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now, concerning the things of the Spirit. Brethren, I will not have you ignorant. I keep knowing about it. I keep learning of it. There's no time where I must stop learning about the operations of the power of God. As a pastor consistently, since I've, from pastoring a few people to a fellowship to becoming an acting pastor. I've done acting pastor 3 times in my life. In my own, there was no transmission to the National Assembly. Just acted for men. In all my acting, as I teach what God has done in Christ, I make sure I consistently teach the things of the Spirit and the power of God. You cannot ignore that and say you are preaching the gospel. How? How? Whose gospel? The gospel of Christ. Which Christ? The one who undid the works of Satan in men's lives. With Christ, the Christ that Peter preached, with Christ, the Christ that Philip went to Samaria to preach, with Christ, the Christ that Paul preached in Ephesus, with Christ, that Christ is accompanied with what? Signs and wonders. Don't just get the homiletics right. The phonetics. I'm telling you something. It's done. It's finished. Tell you something. You have eternal life. See, righteousness is yours right now. I'm telling some of you, oh, you're blessed. It's all past tense. Father! There are things to be done. Get ready to do something. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready to do. Some of you have just stopped on tongue interpretation. I therefore interpret all your tongues for you. It's time to do. Because this gospel is accompanied. So say accompanied. Say accompanied. With signs and wonders. And one of a prominent one is what? Come on, raise your voice. What? Casting out demons. I need not ask whether you have cast out a demon recently. If you have not, I dare say you are basically an interim member of this church. No. A pre-member. You just came in to spy at our liberty. And you bring us back to bondage. How can you, a whole year, say, I'm trusting God? Eh? To what? Judas, Thomas, then the unknown guy in Luke 9:49. All the 70 that walked away from him in John 6. Then you are trusting God. For what? For Christ to be brought to the temple so that you dedicate him? Like Simeon, the priest? Man, you're lost. Don't trust. Do. What are you afraid of? I have believed the gospel. I have power over unclean spirits. We preach what he has done, accompanied with what we can do. Hallelujah. Follow this. I learn about it. I keep learning. A believer must never get to the point where he now becomes ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit and the workings of miracles and the power of God. One, I strive for it. I go for it. I make sure I'm not ignorant of it. I see them in my life as well. Like Paul said, 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank my God. I teach about tongues more than you all. Talk to me, church. I thank my God. I understand tongues more than you all. No. I speak with tongues. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. Let's look at it together. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. I want us to read it together. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. I want us to start from 19. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 4:19. If you are there, say amen. Let's go. For I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. I will know the speech of them that are puffed up by the power. Verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word only, that's the Greek, but in power. I must preach it. It must be in my speech. I must never talk down on the power of God. As a first thing, when I see a miracle, I believe it. Anyone. Till I have contrary evidence. I don't have a single strand of doubt for miracles. I don't have it. Until I see a strand of such. I believe. I believe in miracles. I do. I believe in casting out devils. I believe in raising the dead. I believe in opening blind eyes. I believe in the lame walking. I believe in the cripple walking. I believe. So when I see it done, I'm excited. Power God. Hallelujah. God, if I know and I believe that God raised Christ from the dead, why would I doubt that the blind eye can be opened? I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, my gospel. How then would I doubt that a man who has not walked all his life can now walk? I can't doubt it. If I couldn't doubt the gospel, how God raised Christ from the dead, why would I doubt that somebody who was deaf from birth can hear? I can't doubt it. I believe it. I do it. One, I said, strive for it. Go for it. Then, don't be ignorant of it. In your own life, practice it. I said also, in your speech, can God set men free from bondage? Yes. Do they have to be born again? No. Can he heal the sick? Do they have to be born again? No. He can. He does it through us. So, what is my responsibility? First and foremost, I step out and I preach. Notice, both Jesus and the apostles, none of them, go and read your Bible well, none of them had a sermon on healing. Not one. None. They preached the gospel and they did works. None. So as I step out, Matthew 4:23, Jesus went from their cities to their villages preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of diseases and sicknesses. I preach. I must go and preach. Let me add this to it. The moment you only preach because your zonal pastor or your pastor or your church pastor asks you to go out and preach, something is wrong with you. It should be a compelling force all the time. Like I said in the morning, you must have an ambition about the gospel. Can you remember that? Make an ambition out of the gospel. I preach. I must go out and preach. Disciples went out to preach. Matthew 10:5. Go, preach the gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick, cast lepers, cast out devils. Freely have you received, freely shall you give. Matthew 10:5, 6, 7, and 8. Luke 9, the same thing. Acts 10:37. The word which you know was promised throughout Judea and all Jerusalem, all Judea, pardon me, 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. So they went around preaching. You must preach. 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 Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach. As you preach, and then you add the compliments. Do you have compliments? Do you have compliments? You add the compliments. How would you go on evangelism a whole week and all you wrote were names of men born again? Emoji. What happened? What happened? What is to have the supernatural power to contend? Preach. Preach. Ask questions. Anybody sick here? Anybody disease here? It doesn't mean that when they are healed forever. No. But when they are healed by the power of God. Learn that. Preach. I have a responsibility to preach what God has done in Christ. What he has done. What he has done. As we go from state to state, city to city, country to country, and nation to nation, we light up the dark places. Notice that in the dark places, there will be works of darkness, oppressions of the devil. There will be men bound by sickness and disease. There will be men oppressed of Satan. Different places. Some of us have converted that into emotional healing. Who asked you to do all that nonsense? Are you a psychologist? A man come on and say, well, I have testimonies of believers who have broken habits. Say, well, I went through the... Are you a psychologist? Preach and do the works. Preach! And very vitally, in the supernatural ministry that we have received of God, we preach. We do what? We preach Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:2. I determine not to know anything among you, save Christ and Him crucified. My speech and my preaching, verse 4, was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In that instance, he's talking about the gospel. What Christ has done is being crucified. 1 Corinthians 1:18, 1 Corinthians 1:24. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, it now says, not only in word, but also in power. 1 Corinthians 12:1, now to the things of the Spirit. He now mentions 9 of them, which includes workings of miracles, gift of faith, and gifts of healings. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, he has said some in the church, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, workers of miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments. Then it says, diversities of tongues, all in the church. So say they are all in the church. Say they are all in the church. Equipment for the work of the ministry. I preach. Secondly, I pray. I do what? I pray. Let's follow men who preached what we preach. Luke chapter 3, verse 2. Luke captured a very vital truth about Jesus. That's in verse 2. Verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. Are you there? And what? Pray. Everything Jesus did, he accompanied with prayer. Let me ask you. Was he praying about a problem? See, if your prayer life is about you and problems and solutions to problems about your life, you are yet to get into the ministry of prayer. You see what it is? Was it praying for a wife or a child, or praying for a job or a visa or a deportation? Pray. Jesus. Luke 5:16. Watch all these accounts carefully. Luke 5:16. After he had healed the sick, in verse 15, he withdrew himself. So he withdrew himself. So we are talking about a personal prayer life. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. When you hear wilderness in the Bible, don't think it's talking about Sahara Desert. Wilderness simply means where people don't live. So he went on what you can call a solitary place to pray. Giving to prayer. Luke 6:12. Same Jesus. You'll find the same thing in Mark 6:46 and Matthew 14:23. Luke 6:12. Let's take it together. Luke 6:12. Can we go? And it came to pass. I'm waiting for you. Let's go. That he went out to the mountain to pray and continued in our prayer. If all the all nights you do is only in church, you have all made miserable. If the all night you've engaged in is all corporate all night, you have all made miserable. If your all night is because there's a problem in your office,
Your all night is because there's a situation in your life looking for a husband or wife.
You have lost it.
All night. And the product of it was the bed as it came down.
He chose his disciples.
He prayed after he healed the sick. He finished praying, he healed the sick. He prayed at the baptism, the Holy Ghost came on him. He prayed and then he chose disciples.
Ministry related.
Luke 6:12. He went apart. He took a break. He stayed in his room alone. He's a student. He went to a social place on campus. He took a day off work. He moved away from his wife or husband, went to a room in the apartment or went out of the house to pray.
You go out to read, go out for parties, go out to plan engagement, you go out to plan marriage. People even go out of their homes because they want to go and get married and stay in a hotel for 2 days. Solitary confinement. But it's time for prayer. It doesn't become a duty to go and pray.
A man that will have a consistent supernatural ministry must be a man given to prayer as a ministry. You must pray and not even know how long you are prayed.
You are praying, look at this watch. Who is punishing you? You are the one praying, no? See? 5 more minutes. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He prayed. It's interesting again, church. He's about to go to the cross. He's praying. When did he not pray? Let's say one more. Luke 9:28, the Mount of Transfiguration. It came to pass, let's take it together, Luke 9:28, let's go. And it came to pass, about an 8th after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, his raiment was white and glistened. Prayed. Acts 1:14. It became the culture of the church. So the moment he told them, do not leave, be settled in the city of Jerusalem. Luke 4:48-49. They knew you cannot stay and not pray. Acts 1:14. What did they do? It says, they continued, let's take it together. All of you go together. All the souls together. Let's go. Acts 1:14. Let's go. And this all continued in one accord in prayer. Acts 2:42. Let's go. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in breaking of bread. And what? Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple in the hour of prayer. Acts 4:24. Together, let's go. And when they had heard, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord. Acts 4:31. Let's go. And when they had prayed. Are you following the pattern? Are you following the pattern? Acts 6:4. Let's go. Acts 6:4. Let's go. And we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 6:6. Whom they set forth before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Acts 8:15. Let's take it together. Who, when they were come now, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Acts 9. Acts 9:17. Ananias saw Paul. What was Paul doing when he came? He was praying. Verse 11. For behold, he prayed. Acts 10:9.
Let's take it together. Acts 10:9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went on the housetop to what? To pray. Prayer was all over the book of Acts. Acts 13. Are you in church? No, Acts 13, yes. Sorry, Acts 12, as a mistake. Acts 12:5. Let's go. Acts 12:5. Let's go. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But the church complained to the government. They were whispering to themselves, are you aware that Peter is in jail? Acts 12:5. Let's go. Peter therefore was kept in prison. Let's go together. But prayer was made without sin of the church to God for him. Acts 13:3. Let's go. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Acts 14:23. Acts 14:23. And when they had ordained them elders in every city and had prayed with what? Fasting. Consistently. Prayer was the norm. Acts 16:25. Let's take it together. Acts 16:25. Let's go. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Consistently. Prayer was a norm. You must be a man of prayer. A man who preaches and a man of prayer. Play for me close. A man who preaches and a man of prayer. Do you have a prayer life? Or your prayer life is only strong when there's a problem in your life? Are you a man given to prayer? I thank my God, Paul said. I speak with tongues. I pray in tongues. More than you all. But he said he did that when he was outside the church. Romans 12:12. Continuing instant in prayer. Romans 15:30. Strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Prayer. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always, which is the armor of God. Say the sword of the Spirit, 17. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Philippians 1:19. I know this, that shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:3. With all praying also for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. 2 Timothy, chapter 1:3. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Do you have a lifestyle of prayer? Let preaching be your conviction. Let prayer be your devotion. Preaching, my vocation, my conviction. Prayer, my devotion. Men who walk with God, men who walk in the power of God, saw prayer not just as a duty, a church activity, something to make ends meet, something to solve my problems. They saw prayer as a devotion, something they wake up to do, something they go to bed to do, something they take time out to do. Prayer. I am fully
preaches the gospel. Is prayer a devotion or a church activity? Is prayer change your prayer life, or there is a prayer life? You should pray so much that you don't even know how much you have prayed. You should preach ceaselessly, whether you are asked to do it or not, because the message has made you a message. He has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, verse 19, not imputing their trespass again unto them, and then committed unto us the message of reconciliation. He upbraided them, Mark 16:14. They believed, by 15, he gave them the message. Matthew 28:18. He upbraided them, told them. Some doubted, some saw him, some worshipped. By 19, he gave them a message. 18 and 19. Pardon. In Mark 16, the same thing. In Luke 24, all fools, full of hearts, to believe all the prophets have spoken. Verse 25, 27. In 45, their understanding was opened. In 46, he explained the gospel to them. 47, he told them it must be preached. 48, he said, you are witnesses now. The moment you believe, you become what? You become what? A witness. As you believe, you become the preacher. 49, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Sip. That's what made Paul, as Ananias left him. Straight away, he got up and he began to preach. Two things. You must never lose your preaching ministry and your prayer ministry. Don't forget what I told you last night. We will not leave the word of God and attend to career issues. Attend to needs. We will not leave the word of God and serve tables. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the preaching of the word. Tonight, recommit yourself to these two vital elements of being called a Christian. These two vital elements and important things of being called a minister of the gospel is not your ability to be in Saints Community Church for many years. You are now a head of department. You are now a zonal pastor. You are now a congregational leader. That's not all to it. If that is all to your life, no preaching, no prayer ministry, no signs and wonders. M-O-G, you are just a title holder, no more. Power God, sing all over your ministry. Power God, sing your preaching and teaching. When was the last time an oppressed person was set free through you? When? When was the last time, without outreach of church, you opened a blind eye? When was the last time a paralyzed person received strength? When was the last time you dared on your own to go out and cast out devils? When was the last time you preached and said, is there anybody sick in this area? When? You are now comfortable. Oh, I did that in school. No, you did that when you were a Christian. Now you are comfortable. You are an executive. You now drive a car. You are not comfortable. You are now in air conditioners. When you were on Okada, you were jumping from place to place preaching. Now you drive a car. You are comfortable. You are now thinking about a woman in your life, a man in your life, a visa abroad, pictures, visa, masters, have money. M-O-G! You are losing it. We don't outgrow our assignment in life. We don't outgrow our purpose. M-O-G. That's male and female. What's going on? All we can see, change of attire, change of clothing. You look delectable, charming. Oh, so mysterious in dressing. But no signs,
no wonders, no miracles. You are a statue of a dead man. What's going on? Where is your preaching ministry? Did you abandon it? Where is that miracle ministry that accompanies what we preach, what we do? Where's your prayer life? How many all nights have you had this year? How many? You only stay up late when there's a problem. You are only motivated to pray when you are involved. Man of God, what's going on? Oh, but Pastor, I am not like that. I preach the gospel regularly. Well, it is also for you to take heed, lest at any time you begin to drift away, as the case is this time, from what is precious to you. I want to ask you three questions. Then we pray. Is a preaching of the gospel precious to you? Can you answer me? I'm going to ask again. I want you to answer me. Is a preaching of the gospel irreplaceable in your life? Are you sure you are not comfortable with just writing on social media? Just comfortable, just knowing that it is the truth. Comfortable with a discussion here and there, you know, not something you consciously do. Comfortable here and there, just talking to people, you know, Christ has done it all. Not striving. I pause. But ask one more time. Is the preaching of the gospel irreplaceable in your life? Two. Is the demonstration of the power of God important to you? Are you sure? Are you sure you have not replaced it with thinking about doctors? Are you sure you have not replaced it by human inventions? Is the demonstration of the power of God important to you? I ask the question. And finally, is prayer as a devotion a life wire for you? I ask the question. Is prayer as a devotion a life wire for you? Can you do a day without prayer? Can you? Some of us go 1 week. You are temporary group preachers, no doubt. What about you? You wake up at night and pray. If you knew your life depended on prayer, you will not be too tired to pray. People will be so tired at work. They get home. They go home 1 a.m. So tired they drove for 8 hours on the road. And then they're about to sleep. Tired. They tell their children, please, nobody should disturb me here. I'm too tired. Please. They just hear, gunshots. You don't say, I'm too tired to be away. You get up. What's going on? So, walking late into the night in your office is not an excuse. It's because you don't think your life depends on your prayer life. Church, if you have left your roots, anybody here, go back there now. Your roots. You couldn't do a week without healing the sick. You couldn't do a week without casting out devils. Go back there. May it never be in your past. Preach the gospel. Teach it. And pray. Bow your heads. Let's just pray. Father, we commend ourselves to the message that saves, to the power that undoes the works of darkness. We commend ourselves again as a church to contend for power as of old.